Live. Welcome to the live Saturday edition of the program. As always, you're invited to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Well, we got a stupid cop story on the way that involves Russian roulette. Sorry about that, Chris. I unmuted the wrong bet you can predict how that one ends.
Just the same way that every Russian roulette story ends.
Right.
Sadly.
So we can talk about that on the way here, plus your calls and thoughts about whatever's on your mind. Also, you've got another piece here that we wanted to start out with. This AOC, she's hot. She's young. She's attractive. And she doesn't seem to have two brain cells to rub together.
Well, she has a degree in economics.
Does she really?
She does.
College economics, though, which isn't
college,
like...
College economics,
good,
yes.
Pro-freedom economics. So.
Certainly not.
I don't know. I'm not going to say she's got two brain cells. She's right on a few things. She's right on, like, criminal justice reform.
Yes.
I've seen some of her statements on that. She seems to be right about it.
Her big push was defunding ICE.
Okay.
Which all the Democrats all voted for 100%, including her.
Did they really?
It was today or yesterday to refund ICE, yes.
Oh, to refund? That's not defund. Oh.
No, they voted to provide it with full funding.
Oh, that's not defunding.
Yeah. Did I say that?
You said defund.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but they all ran on that. That was going to be their thing. That was going to be their... big thing they were going to do in face of the wall, but they kind of went the other way. And
so what you're saying, they promised to defund ICE.
Yes.
But then they funded ICE.
They funded ICE.
Oh, okay. So they're politicians is what you're saying.
Yeah. That's the word that was the dirty word I'm looking for. Can we say that on radio?
I think you can.
We can't say politician.
Yes, in the United States.
Okay, there we go. Well, we were going to talk about, and sometimes she's a little loose with the facts.
Yeah.
Sometimes things come out of her mouth and
kind of like Trump.
We're never really sure what to make of it.
She's like a much more attractive Democrat Trump.
I will agree on the much more attractive. Yeah. I think she's kind of cute, but politically not really my cup of tea.
No.
And somebody who does traditionally favor more progressive candidates is the Washington Post editorially and through their stuff.
Isn't that the one Bezos purchased?
Yes.
Okay.
Jeff Bezos did buy that a couple years ago, but in this case, this comes to us from HuffPo, Huffington Post. Quote, she's wrong. Washington Post hits back at AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Quote, misfiring facts. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat of New York, faced off with the Washington Post's Glenn Kessler in a heated battle over a fact-checking, chiding her for, quote, playing fast and loose, unquote, with the truth on living and minimum wages. The statement in question came during a Martin Luther King Day question and answer last Monday with writer Ta-Nehisi Coates. While discussing economic inequality, the freshman congresswoman asserted that, quote, a vast majority of the country doesn't make a living wage, unquote, lamenting that, quote,
boy, how are they all living?
Exactly. You'd think they'd be dead by now, right? Quote, you can work 100 hours and not feed your kids, unquote.
Oh, this is, we don't even have to get into the fact-checking, but we're going to here in just a moment, but... I mean, this is clear hyperbole.
If you worked 100 hours, let's say you have a minimum wage job.
Right.
Federal minimum wage, $7.25. Lots of states, it's a lot higher than that.
That's true.
I got to ask either one, how many kids do you have that you can't feed all of them? Is this like old Mother Hubbard's shoe? Or are you just making things up?
Yeah, well, because, I mean, look, if you want to go to a place where they're having a tough time feeding their kids, go to Venezuela. And then you can see what it's like where people are, you know, they don't have ability to work in a lot of cases because businesses have been going under due to, you know, the hyperinflation and due to lack of supplies and all kinds of economic issues. Even if you are working, the money that you earn is constantly being, its value is being chased away by other money that's being poured into the economy by the government there.
Yes.
That's a place where your kids are probably going to skip a meal or two every single day. In the United States, poor people don't have that problem. Poor people have a problem of eating too much.
Right, right. Obesity is a problem.
Right. in the U.S.
It's really sad.
Not in Venezuela.
And not to distract from this story, but I was speaking with a gentleman from Venezuela today who happened to come into our store.
Really?
Yes.
Had he been there recently?
Still has a little bit of family down there, lives in the United States now, mm-hmm. But he was telling me, he's like, how do you even calculate a million percent inflation rates? How do you do that? You can't.
I don't know.
You can't. And everybody is chasing the newest dollar, whatever the latest version of...
you mean the Bolivar?
The Bolivar
Soberano, the so-called sovereign Bolivar?
Right, because it doesn't fall as fast as the rest of them. Well, let's talk about AOC a little bit more. Yeah, quote, "I think it's wrong that corporations like Walmart and Amazon can get paid by the government, essentially experience a wealth transfer from the public."
I also think that's wrong.
"People less than a minimum wage," unquote, she added.
I agree with the first half of that. I think it's wrong that corporations are getting welfare. I think welfare itself is wrong, whether it's going to individuals or corporations having wealth being transferred, which is what the term she used there.
Right.
That's the truth. You're transferring wealth, whether it's giving them a property tax break by the local government or whether it's some sort of federal farm subsidy or whatever other federal subsidy these corporations are receiving.
Right. And one thing that the right will rarely acknowledge is that the number, if you look at the amount of money spent on social welfare programs compared to corporate welfare programs, corporate dominates. I mean, it is a much higher percentage of our budget goes towards propping up companies that shouldn't need propped up at all. Quote, "I think it's wrong." Let's see, we covered that. Debunking the lawmaker's claim on a minimum wage, Kessler wrote MIT's Living Wage Calculator.
This was her claim that said half of the country doesn't make a living wage, is what she said.
And this is the Washington Post, Glenn Kessler, they're referring to. "Debunking the lawmaker's claim on minimum wage, Kessler turned to MIT's Living Wage Calculator, speaking to its manager, Amy Glassmeyer, who noted the statement wasn't quite accurate considering 2017's living wage averaged just over $16 an hour. Mm. Still, Glassmeyer acknowledged estimates are tough. But Kessler gave Ocasio-Cortez credit where it was due, noting her, quote, 100 hours, unquote, remark was a low estimate of anything. That's kind of interesting. 100
hours in a week?
That's what she said. We'll see if it answers this. However, when it came to her comments on Walmart and Amazon, Kessler pointed out that both corporations pay workers more than minimum wage, also contending her claim of a wealth transfer was flimsy based on a 2005 paper written by Jason Furman, who would later chair the Council of Economic Advisors in the Obama era. Firing back at Kessler's check, Ocasio-Cortez accused him of, quote, a Walmart-funded think tank as reference material for wage fairness, unquote, raising him four Geppettos for his three Pinocchios. And then it goes on to list her, quote.
So she was questioning his source?
Yes. Okay. She was basically saying, you're a bigger liar than I am, as if that's a fair battle to have. Kessler clapped back, denying her portrait of the Furman paper was even close to accurate. Quote, she's wrong, unquote, he tweeted. Quote, don't always believe what you see on Twitter. The article has been updated
with
a note explaining the provenance. Yeah, I think that's
how
it played out.
These two weren't sitting in a room.
No, they
weren't having a debate.
We don't have debates anymore, Ian. If you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter so you can watch these debates.
I'm just not on Facebook. Thank God.
And it goes on to quote them. Despite the dust-up, not the first time Ocasio-Cortez has came under the fact-checker's scrutiny, having scored four Pinocchios last month with a broad claim regarding untraceable finances at the Pentagon. So,
well, it's
there,
probably
there
true.
You have. Yeah, it's, I don't know if that's going to be
a lie. I'm pretty sure the Pentagon's
or not.
Lost track of billions, if not trillions, of dollars over time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of news about that over the years. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. You want to talk about politicians lying? 855-450-3733. Join us. This is Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free. Take control of these airwaves. Bring up anything that's on your mind. We're doing a little fact-checking on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She says some pretty outrageous stuff, and you've got some of that story here, Chris. We're going to continue with that in moments. But I do want to let you know about LibertyStickers.com. If you want to reach people with the ideas of liberty, you can do it from the back of your car. LibertyStickers.com. You can reach thousands of people with a bumper sticker, and you know people love to read them. So check out the vast selection of witty, poignant, pithy, and downright bombastic liberty-oriented messages over at LibertyStickers.com. Let's go to the phones. To the phone, you can bring up whatever's on your mind. He's Ray No More calling us from Texas in Amarillo, KIXZ listener. Go ahead, Ray No More.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, great. What's on your mind?
Well, I voted for President Trump, and he's, you know, he was a breath of fresh air because at least he got us started. But I'm getting more and more disappointed.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Banning bump stocks. And, well, what I was going to make a comment of, what the American people want, anybody with common sense or if you asked anybody on the street, basically, just fundamentally, what people want is they want their freedom and they want justice, and they haven't had it in a long, long time.
Hmm. And when did they ever have it?
Hannity, well, I don't know if they ever had. Sean Hannity, you know, it's a cesspool up there in Washington.
Sure is.
And, and you know, they take hundreds of millions of dollars and they send it to these other countries without our permission. And there's no, we're the richest country in the world. There's no reason for anybody to be homeless. It only costs $8,000 a year to house somebody, and it costs $38,000 a year to keep them in prison. Our prison system is our legal system, it's all a joke, man.
Yeah.
What people want is they want them to stop taking our guns, stop putting more and more legislation on us, taking more and more of our freedoms. And people are sick of it.
I like what you're saying here, okay? It definitely rings true to me. That's what I want. But I'm not sure that that's what people want. Because if people actually wanted more freedom, then they would do something, I don't know, more tangible to achieve it. People tend to...
They're lazy. They get by with their jobs, paying their bills, and they're lazy. They don't know the issues. They don't really see what's going at stake, and they really don't care. I agree with what you're saying there.
Part of the problem is that people, they might want freedom for themselves, because nobody, you know, most people don't want to be oppressed. I mean, I guess there are some masochists who are into that,
right.
But, you know, leaving those folks out, most people don't want to be told, you know, how to live and what to do. But the problem is they can't let go of the idea that they think other people should behave in a certain way. So they want to be free. The individual in question wants to be free, but they're not willing to allow other people to be free. They're like, oh, I can handle freedom. I should be free. My business shouldn't be regulated. But that other business over there, you need to be regulated. And you down the street, you weird old man, you're not going to give money to help the poor. You need to be taxed. And so there's like all these things that they want to control other people with. And so therefore, they can't have freedom.
I would even disagree with some of that in that I don't think most people have any issue at all with regulation. They laugh at stupid regulation when mm-hmm. stupid things occur. But, you know, Ian, paying your taxes, it's just the price we pay for living in a civilized society.
Well, that is definitely a statement that you hear people make.
You do.
Common.
You hear things like that, and it tells me that people are very accepting of this type of a society, and mm-hmm. I just think it's not looking back at history and not looking at the future as something that could be so much brighter. Mm-hmm. They're content. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for.
Well, yeah,
for.
I think that's what Ray was saying. They're lazy. You know, you got all kinds of television to watch. You got all kinds of internet to, you know, embroil yourself in. And then there's, you know, video games and all kinds of distractions, sporting events. There's so much to do, so much to keep busy with. And you can't really fight City Hall anyway, right, in most cases. So even if you are mad at the system, you know, it's overwhelming. They've
right.
got all the attorneys they need. And what are you going to do about it?
Well, I do things like point out that both of you work when I'm talking to a married couple, and mm-hmm. they're like, yeah, right, so? Well, I grew up when mothers didn't really work because right. they weren't needed to work. for there to be a comfortable retirement.
Because one person could earn enough to take care of the family.
And put three kids through college and do all these things. Now, I mean, it's a pipe dream. You know, one parent with one kid struggles and goes into debt to put one kid into college.
Raina Moore, I mean, we've definitely been monopolizing this conversation. Yeah. Did you want to get a thought in? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. It's just that it's like with the Seth Rich thing. When that happens, you hear nothing else about it. So many things happen that, you know, after a month or two, it's dead in the water. Nobody brings it up.
I'm not familiar with Seth Rich. I don't know who that is.
He was a DNC guy that was shot, young man that was shot up there on the street.
Oh, yeah.
Murdered. Yeah, and they thought that he might have been leaking stuff from the DNC.
Oh, did this have to do with the Hillary emails, allegedly, that maybe he was the leaker or something like that?
With WikiLeaks?
Yes, and they never caught.
Jeez.
And what, you know, they banned Alex Jones. I mean, I guess they got to.
Who banned Alex Jones? Wait, who banned Robert Alex Jones?
Pretty much the whole world.
Wait, who?
Yeah.
Who
well,
banned
we got Roger Stone. Well, he was kicked off of Facebook and YouTube.
Oh,
and all that.
The deplatforming. Because I was going to say, that was actually, for Alex Jones, that was some of the best publicity he ever had. His app that he had,
right,
still has, presumably, InfoWars, whatever it's called, just shot up in popularity. It became the number one news talk / whatever app on iTunes. So Apple, even though they restricted his podcast, wasn't searchable anymore, they still allowed his app to be downloaded through their store. Google also allowed his app to be downloaded. So it actually worked out really well for him.
Yeah, I would leave you guys with one question. Here's the thing is, when you've got all this stuff like with Roger Stone, they're indicting him now, and these things that go on with what's in the news right now, why isn't there, like Hillary, you know, she could have been indicted herself after, and that hasn't been done. And these deep state actors and the things that people in, you know, and truthers in on the internet and stuff, they bring these things up. And they can do these things and make these acts, and nobody sues them. They're not brought into court. They're not prosecuted. I mean, it's a double standard. But if a Republican or a conservative does, I mean, they just rake us over the coals for everything. These people, I guess they're above the law, these crooked politicians. And you have this, in New York State, they just passed to where you can abort a baby up till 9 months. That is satanic. And they that just happened. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What they're doing, and it's just in other words, I'll say this and I'll get off. It's people want justice. You know, I'm a conservative Christian. I'm not perfect, maybe not a good example of it, but you're supposed to temper justice with mercy and truth, and that's something we don't have in this country.
Raina Moore, thank you for your call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you there in Texas. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. Although I'm not of the belief that you know, Democrats are the problem, I think they're all the problem. The Republicans and the Democrats, they're the ones who brought this overarching, unendingly large and expensive and intrusive and outrageous government to you. And they haven't done anything on either side to put a stop to it. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. You can join us here.
Bitcoin.com is delighted to announce their latest partnership with the gift card specialist at eGifter. With many of the world's leading brands on their roster, it is now easier than ever to get the gift cards of your favorite brands with Bitcoin Cash. To get started, just follow these simple steps. Visit giftcards.bitcoin.com, pick the gift card you want, follow the instructions on your screen, and make your payment using your Bitcoin Cash wallet. Sit tight and your gift card will be delivered to you as soon as it's ready. That's giftcards.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live. Dial toll free and bring up anything you want here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. Whatever it is that's on your mind goes, if that's what you want to do. Otherwise, we talk about stuff that we want to talk about. And the we tonight is Ian.
And Chris.
Also, Free Talk Live brought to you by AnyPay. Maybe you've heard about Bitcoin. Maybe you're just getting involved and you own a retail establishment that you would like to have you know, the ability to accept Bitcoin from your customers. AnyPay makes it easy. In fact, I don't know. I mean, I guess it could get easier in the future, but they've made it really, really easy to do this. You go to anypay.global. You create your account, username, password. You're in. There's no approval process. There's no paperwork. You just create those things and you're in. Then you get in the back end, you drop your cryptocurrency wallet addresses into the settings page and load the app on your tablet device or whatever device it is you've got at your register. That's it. You're accepting crypto like Bitcoin, like Zcash, Zen, Dash, and others. Go to anypay.global. And hopefully we're going to have some pretty exciting news from AnyPay coming in the near future. I can't say what it is, but I'm, you know, as soon as we can officially tell you about it, I will be the first person. Yeah, I'll be the first person to tell you because it's pretty
big.
So toll-free number if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. Kind of just talking about Ocasio-Cortez made some statements. She brought up some issues within those statements. They're worth talking about, all of those issues, minimum wage,
yep.
Corporate welfare, which you know she's right on,
yeah.
On corporate welfare. Of course, she probably believes in personal welfare, which the same problem exists, just on a different scale with
right.
individuals. So we can talk about all that, but we need to go to your calls and thoughts here first. We have Gene, the Christian anarchist. He's on our Discord on-air call-in line rooms. Hello, Gene.
Hello, guys.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about one of my favorite things, conspiracy theories.
Oh, all right. One in particular or just generally?
I do want to talk about one in particular. I want to clarify that I am a conspiracy theorist.
All right.
I believe in several of them. I believe CIA killed Kennedy.
And they may have just killed your internet connection. Go ahead.
Did I drop off?
You're losing some packets. I'll let you know if it gets unairable.
Okay. But I also believe that something brought down the Twin Towers other than jet fuel.
You don't think it was like an alien laser ray, do you?
I don't really have any idea what brought it down. But since I have a background in machining and working with tools and things, and I understand basic physics, I don't think those three buildings came down because two of them got hit by jets, by airplanes. The specific conspiracy theory I want to talk about is contrails. Because
oh, God, you're not one of those, are you?
Even though I believe in all kinds of conspiracy theories,
okay.
I do have to have a bit of physical evidence or at least be able to disprove the original theory in order to go into a conspiracy theory.
So you don't actually believe in chemtrails, right? You're not one of those.
This is, as a pilot, I cannot possibly understand how people keep falling for that theory because
they don't know science.
I have an app on my phone. It's called Flight Tracker. And there's another one, Radar 24, something like that. But when you see one of those contrails overhead, you can pull up your app and you can find exactly what airline that is flying overhead. You can find the flight number. You can find where it's coming from and where it's going to.
Right.
And I mean, it's.
But it's a lot more exciting to just take a picture and then upload it and claim that it's chemicals being sprayed.
Right.
Well, I understand the attractiveness of a good conspiracy theory. You know, they're great. But the chemtrail one just makes the rest of us conspiracy theorists look crazy. Okay.
Yeah. That and the flat earth.
I'll definitely give you this. I mean, there are enough things that our government does.
Yes.
Does and gets caught at doing. You know, what were you taught? That the North Koreans started the Korean War? Or the North Vietnamese started the Vietnam War? That didn't
happen.
Wasn't
it the French?
That didn't happen, right?
That didn't happen. No, I mean, the big thing that they... Help me out here, Gene. I'm spinning.
The Gulf of Tonkin.
Gulf of Tonkin incident. That was the big one that really kind of brought us
That was what brought the U.S. in, but wasn't it the French that were there
they
first?
They were fighting there first, right. But I'm referring to bringing the U.S.
versus
into this conflict.
North Vietnam. Uh-huh.
Right. You also have the memo, the famous memo that outlined exactly how...
The McCollum memo in World War II?
Exactly.
Where they basically were trying to gin up conflict with the Japanese by, you know, blockading and, you know, doing all kinds
of... Moving the fleet out of... Yeah. There's all these things, and there's a lot of proof. And I don't know at what point something goes from being a conspiracy theory to being a conspiracy.
Yeah.
But usually it's decades.
And all these things are great, and a lot of them expose the fact that the government lies, which they always do.
Sure, yes.
If the government is talking, they're lying.
Guaranteed.
But
it doesn't matter who it is.
The whole thing behind the chemtrails is based on a few memos regarding experiments where they have actually sprayed things into the atmosphere. So it's based on a little bit of truth.
Sure. Right. Yeah, I remember down in Florida before we moved the show up here, they had something in, I think, probably the early aughts where they sprayed this stuff called malathion, and they thought it was going to deal with the mosquito problem or something like that.
Spraying things in the atmosphere to try and get radar to work over the horizon, just all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that every airplane in the sky is right. part of a conspiracy.
Right.
Because it would take, in order to put all those trails in the sky, it would take what the airlines have, 10,000 airplanes flying around the skies every day. The government doesn't have 10,000 planes up there spraying us. It's just not possible.
It's so but paranoid.
They're all working for the government. They can't.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you could put something in the jet fuel, which you can't do that either, because if you dilute the jet fuel, when you change the chemistry of the jet fuel, the airplanes won't reach their destination. They'll fall out of the sky because they're out of fuel.
All of these claims of the conspiracy theorists on the issue of so-called chemtrails are easily debunkable by anybody that knows about science in the atmosphere. And there's a great website I would like to recommend people to. If you're listening out there and you're like, well, it is true, I've seen photos. somebody said on the internet, here's another site on the internet that actually goes into the science of why contrails, which is what we are seeing in the skies, are a natural appearance. And it explains why they behave differently based on different circumstances in the atmosphere. And so I'm not going to read it again because I've done it a few times in the past and it's not the right time for it on a Saturday night.
Right.
They literally debunk everything that you can possibly imagine on contrailscience.com. And it's super easy to read. It's easy to understand. They explain the science and, easy to follow terminology and give examples. And it's really, really useful.
I don't think you'll find a pilot in the whole world that believes in the chemtrail thing. But the thing is, the government
they're
laughing at us because they use this to show that just because you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a nut.
Right.
And the truth is, there's a lot of conspiracy out there. But they use things like this and the Alex Jones crazy, trips into Never Never Land to show that we're all crazy.
Yeah, you discredit. It's easy to discredit things that way.
Absolutely.
I just had to laugh. My girlfriend, she was reading social media, and she's like, ooh, here's one. What smell do you remember that reminds you of your hometown? This was like somebody had posted this question.
I can think of
one. She looked at me, and she's like, what smell do you remember that reminds you of your hometown? I'm like, DDT. Kids. I mean, when the truck came through spraying DDT all over everything.
For crops?
No, to kill the mosquitoes. This happened it was every summer.
I remember the smell of the Tropicana plant that used to waft down from, it was gross, like rotten tomatoes, rotten oranges, basically.
Nasty.
Hey, thanks for the call tonight,
man.
Gene. I appreciate the thoughts. Your calls are welcome as well. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Bring up what you want on Free Talk. Hey, it's Free Talk Live, and it is the live Saturday edition of the program. You can join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We'll continue with your calls and thoughts. Thanks, by the way, to Nathan Dank. I think is how you pronounce it. I know he sent me an email a few months ago, and I hope I remembered it correctly about that. Nathan, thanks for being a Free Talk Live amplifier. In fact, he's not just an amplifier, which is the AMP program is the advertise, market, and promote. The idea is you send $5 a month to us, we give you some cool perks, and we use that money to advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live to hopefully get on new radio stations around the country and bring new internet listeners on board so more people can hear the ideas of liberty. Nathan went above and beyond the call of duty because, again, we only normally ask for $5, but he's doing $25
nice.
Per month. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. One of our longest running Free Talk Live amplifiers for many years. So thank you again. And thank you to everybody who amps the show. Only just under 200 folks are Free Talk Live amplifiers around the globe. And you can do it with PayPal. You can do it with credit card. You can do it with Bitcoin BTC over at amp.freetalklive.com. You can learn how we spend some of the money there, and you can learn about the perks that you'll get access to over at amp.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones and to the fun. We got Gina. Gina in Indianapolis, listening to WIBC. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Tonight was the first time I've ever heard your program.
Welcome.
Excellent.
I thought, wow, this is a neat program. And I just wanted to get real for a minute.
Sure.
It's a pun. I'm concerned about the Real ID Act that's going to come out in October 2020.
Mm-hmm. There's another one?
Yeah, I'm thinking that it... I may be wrong on the date it's coming out, but it's supposed to come out soon.
Yeah.
And at the driver's license branch, when I went to go renew my driver's license when I had my birth date,
right,
they handed me a piece of paper that said that the Real ID Act would come into effect soon.
Okay.
And that you would have to have more identification to be able to get the Real ID.
Yeah. So what state do you live in? Can I ask that?
Indiana.
Indiana, okay.
Indiana.
So Indiana may be like New Hampshire in that we resisted and the feds keep pushing the date back for when I would actually have to have a Real ID compliant ID to board an airplane and do simple things without more.
That's what the date is that she's talking about, the 2020. Because when you were saying it was going to go into effect, I'm thinking, wait, what?
Yeah.
Is there another Real ID? Because let's do a little history here.
Sure.
Real ID was passed back during the Bush administration.
Yeah.
It was circa 05, 06, 07,
somewhere
in that range. Because I remember when I first moved to New Hampshire, when we moved the show up from Florida, that was one of the issues that was real hot at the time.
Yep.
Was there were a handful of states, New Hampshire was one of them, that were resisting, as you were pointing out, and were not going to go along with the federal requirements. And the reason why wasn't out of any principle. You know, it wasn't because they wanted to resist the federal government or anything like that. It was because the feds weren't going to fund it. So the idea was the feds passed this Real ID thing that had all these different requirements that states' licenses probably didn't already meet all those requirements. And so the idea was that they were mad. The state governments were like, well, we don't want to do this extra work unless you're going to give us money.
And spend extra money. That's the whole thing. This is another Washington-driven unfunded mandate.
Right.
They
and the
say
idea was to
you
standardize.
Have to have it. Right.
The idea was to standardize what's on identifications all around the United States to essentially create a de facto federal ID card without actually making it look like it was issued by the U.S. federal government.
And from a liberty point of view, I certainly opposed that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when I got this notice, it was a piece of paper they handed me about Indiana would switch over to that. I think it said October 2020. I'm thinking, wow, you got to have like all these extra IDs to identify who you are.
Papers, please.
And that you may not be able to get a job without it. I mean, it could go as far as that.
Oh, they could do that.
Or you might be able to not drive a vehicle, or you might not be able to go to a federal building. Like, for instance, I'm under my husband that's 20 years Air Force retired. And I have to have a military ID, and I probably wouldn't be able to get into, say, Atterbury down here, you know, unless I had this Real ID card.
Right.
Okay, but my main concern is, you know, you keep hearing this, the wall, right? And all these people are coming into the United States illegally, legally, however, and pretty soon they're going to be mandated to be able to get this Real ID card, and they won't be able to travel. They won't be able to go on an airplane. They won't be able to get a job. They won't be able to drive a vehicle unless they have this switched over. And so, you know, sometimes I think these political things are just smoke screens in some way. I know that sounds ridiculous, but what I'm trying to say, smoke screens to keep people from really knowing the real truth about this Real ID.
I certainly agree. There is certainly an element of that. And they can call Real ID, you know, it's going to keep you safer and it's make everything more efficient. No, we want to know who everybody is so we can figure out a way to tax you. We can figure out how to control you. And that's certainly part of it.
And it'll have a computer chip in it called the RFID chip.
Yeah, do they... are New Hampshire's? I know New Hampshire
now
has
a real ID compliant license, which is unfortunate. And the sad part is it was actually put forward, the legislation was put forward by the big privacy guy. There's this one guy in the state house in New Hampshire. There's 400 state reps, but one of them is like known as the privacy guy. His name's Neil Kirk. And he put forward this legislation, so he totally sold out.
Yeah.
He totally sold out to the feds. Gina, thank you for the call. Thanks for bringing that
up.
And hopefully they'll continue to push that date back, because the date that you were talking about, the 2020, that was originally, you know, a decade ago or whatever.
By the end of 2008, every state must. But so many states just said, Washington, go screw yourself. There's no reason for us to spend all this time and money when the ID cards that we have work fine.
And I'm going to call the bluff here on this claim that you're going to need a federal ID to board a flight, because now, to be fair, it's been years since we talked about this, but we used to have, so maybe they've changed things, okay, but if you've got an experience with this, please let us know. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, but one of our co-hosts, now this was before you got here to New Hampshire, his name was Sam Dodson.
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
I know the name.
So Sam used to make a habit of flying without showing ID. And this is in the TSA days. This was 2008, maybe this was 2009, 2010, 10 and 11, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
He would just get on flights without showing identification.
Yep.
Now, they would subject him to a greater scrutiny.
Sure.
You know, he might have to go through a super pat down or whatever. Or maybe they'd pull him off and try to question him or something like that. I forget exactly, you know, all the things that happened to him.
Right.
But every single time, he got through security with no identification whatsoever. So,
and that stuff, I think there are still contingencies. Like, if you don't have anything, you can, if you adequately demonstrate you have this, this, and this,
just
you can
show
still
up an extra hour early just to make sure you got enough time to deal with whatever detention they're going to put you through.
Make a day of it.
Well,
what
and
the heck?
And the same thing's true of the claim that you got to, this one I hear a lot, even from libertarians, you got to have a passport to go to Canada.
Right.
No, you don't. I know for a fact you don't have to have a passport to go to Canada, because we put this to the test 3 years ago. It was the summer of 2015. We had a group of liberty activists that were attending a camping festival in northern New Hampshire. So, you know, we were maybe an hour and a half away from the border, and we figured, you know, let's make a little day trip, grab some video cameras, head on up to Derby Line, Vermont, and bring ID, but not bring passports, and see if we can get through the border just fine. The claim isn't that Canada requires the passport. They don't. The claim is the U.S. requires the passport on the way back.
Yes.
False.
That's what I've always heard.
It's false. now, they're going to give you a lecture.
Ooh. A harsh lecture?
I had to sit there for a half hour.
You
got
to listen to a government official for a half hour?
While Mr. Buzzcut told me about how great the United States was and how grateful I ought to be for living in the United States. They did ask me a series of questions to try to verify my identity, including one question about had I ever visited Canada before, and I had, and at that time I did have a passport, so they have some record, I guess, of my visit to Canada from a decade ago.
Right.
So they had their way of verifying that I was indeed from the United States, and to their satisfaction, and they cut me loose.
You were American enough for us.
Yeah. So
here's an interesting one. I found this website which talks about stuff. It's called TSA.gov. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes.
Okay. So TSA.gov has a section saying, this is under air travel, forgot your ID. In the event you arrived at the airport without valid identification because it's lost or at home, you may still be allowed to fly.
Uh-huh.
And basically it talks about filling out some forms and undergoing some more questions, and then probably getting certain cavities probed and things like that. But you're going to fly.
You're going to get there.
Unbelievable.
All right, there's more on the way. But, you know, again, it's been a while since I've known someone who's actually tried it. It's Free Talk Live.
Smart Cash is a peer-to-peer digital currency that is fast, secure, and easy to use. Smart Cash is building a foundation that can support daily transactions for people everywhere. One feature that sets Smart Cash apart is the Smart Hive governance model and how the community can vote to fund the best projects with block rewards stored in the Smart Hive project treasury. Unlike other cryptocurrencies with voting systems, Smart Cash allows everyone to participate. One smart equals one vote. Learn more at smartcash.cc.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll free here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms, which will, in most cases, allow you to sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. So you can go over to discord.lrn.fm to get into one of those. In fact, we got somebody waiting there patiently. We'll get to him here shortly. Discord.lrn.fm with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Chris.
And let's go to the phones and to the fun. Then coming up, we can talk about the socialism. Socialism, because you started the show with some Ocasio-Cortez quotes and some fact checks on those, but she's sort of widely known as being a unabashed socialist.
Proud to be. Democrat. What's the
Democrat socialist? Democratic socialist? I'm not sure what the difference is.
I just don't get it. I still call them socialists.
Yeah. So there's actually an opinion piece on the New York Times about the socialism in Venezuela. They say, yes, Venezuela is a socialist catastrophe. So we will share that with you here in a moment. But let's go back to the phones. To the fun. Sue is listening in Indianapolis to WIBC-FM. Hello, Sue.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
I just want to thanks for taking my call. But
yes.
I just want to respond to the girl from Indianapolis. I'm from Franklin, Indiana.
Okay.
And she was talking about the license. We have to have those by 2020 in Indiana.
Right. The Real ID compliant license?
Right. All it is a gold star that goes on your license that proves that you've gone through the channels that they expect you to go through. There is a list of stuff that you can have. But in my case, what I had to have was a bill with my address on it, my Social Security card, my birth certificate, and any divorces that I've had.
Huh.
And that was all I had to have.
I know some people that last one would be a real challenge. Do you have to list times and dates and places and things like that?
Mm-mm. Here you can go, I mean, in Indiana, at least where I went, I just went in one day and they showed me what I had to have and I got it done before I was even due. And it was easy as pie. I mean, just collecting the stuff you needed.
Right. So I have to ask you, does that bother you? In other words, you've already proven who you are. You've already, if you've got an Indiana driver's license, I assume you do. You already had one. You already had to take your birth certificate in there. You had to, you know, prove where you live. You had to respond if they ever mailed you anything. Why do they need all this additional information?
Well, my thing about why I think they need it, I don't know why they're doing it other than what I think they're doing. I think they're trying to really show who are the illegals and who are not, because you have to show your birth certificate of where you are, your current driver's license, and all that other stuff they have on there.
I had to do all that
without
the first
that stuff,
time.
Well, see, I didn't. I'm pretty old. I got my first driver's license when I was 16, and that's been...
Then I'm just as old as you are.
Our chatter, one of our chatters in the Twitch chat, Zarasta, lives out in California. She says, easy as pie? Well, my 75-year-old mother has to go get her marriage license from 1961 to prove her last name change. Not so easy.
Right.
Yeah, but I had all that. I already had all that stuff, you know, here. And
so now, did you do this because you were afraid that you wouldn't be able to fly again? What was your motivation for getting this federal ID?
I did it because I think it's the right thing to do.
Why?
Because, okay, for one, you can't get it. You may not, once this happens, we don't know what's going to come down the road for the school system.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to have it going to a school. You may have to have it. You will have to have it to go, like, to any federal buildings. You're going to have it to go to the post office.
What? Why?
Yes.
No, honestly, I'm asking
you're
why. Because we haven't had these things in 200 years. Yet all of the sudden, this is a big emergency.
I think they're doing it to weed out all the people who are here illegally.
Well, how's that even going to happen? Because everything we've talked about, you can get forged. every single thing.
Yes, I realize that.
And here's my real big problem is, I can tell by the tone of your voice, you're an honest and trustworthy person. And I personally hate the thought of you being given a list of papers that you must go produce, that you have to prove when you were married, when you were divorced, you know, all this stuff. I don't think you deserve that. I don't think it's treating you right. And this has nothing to do with illegal immigration. In my humble opinion, I think it's about them once again reinforcing we're in charge and you're not. And I frankly, when this stuff comes up, I feel like a serf. I feel like they're telling me everything I must do. Go ahead.
I didn't view it like that.
Okay.
At all. I just felt like it was a way to protect us also.
Well,
I mean, yes, illegal
protect
people
you
can
from what?
Other things.
Yeah.
Are you scared?
I agree with you that.
Are you scared
no,
of something?
I'm not scared.
Well,
no,
what do you need for protected from?
Right.
You just never know. I mean, look what happened in World War II with the Jews and stuff. And even
You know what happened in World War II with the Jews was they identified who was Jewish. You know, and then they rounded them up. So identity being the first part of that.
And I hate to go completely ironic, but the first thing you said was they put a big gold star on your driver's license.
Well, it's not a big star. It's a little star, but, you know.
Yeah, I know, but that is exactly what they did with Jews. And
right,
I just, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that there are these analogies throughout history when governments, before they become completely oppressive, want to make sure that everyone is satisfactorily identified. Mm-hmm. And I'm no more anti-Trump than I am anti-Obama or anti.
This has been going on since Bush.
This is anti-liberty, and that's what troubles me.
Well, I guess I look at it more of a positive way.
Yeah, well, you can look at your oppression as positive. You can look at it at oppression and the tools of oppression in as a positive light as you wish.
Right.
Do you look at it in a positive light if you get stopped? I know you're in Indiana, so this may not have happened to you yet. But if you get stopped at a checkpoint, a police checkpoint, you ever been stopped at one of those before?
No.
Okay, so sometimes they exist for the purposes of DUI detection. Sometimes they exist for the purposes of so-called immigrant detection.
Right, border patrol.
Yeah, border patrols down along the southern border and the northern border. They happen usually within 100 miles of the border. They're not uncommon. In fact, some of them are permanent installations. Others are kind of roving checkpoints where every single car is stopped and asked a question. How would that make you feel if you were just stopped on the roads by some armed, uniformed officers?
Well, first, I mean, I wouldn't like it because usually when I'm on the road, I'm on the road to be going
to somewhere
or to work or home.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm pretty much a homebody other than when I go to work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it's for safety, for our safety.
That's what they'll tell you.
Like, yeah, but
do you believe them?
I mean, you don't know that for sure.
Right.
Well, I know.
Well, I want to believe them.
Why would you, though?
Believe in
it's the government.
Judicial system.
No, I understand where she's coming from. She does want to believe that this will make her feel more safe because that gives you a sense of security.
Mm.
It does. It tells you that the government is looking for ways to keep you safe. But the question is that really what their motivation is? And you know,
I don't know.
Yeah,
and like
I don't
you said,
either.
It started way back, you know, so.
How long ago did it really start?
I'm thinking probably 10 years ago.
So when we're talking 10
maybe
years ago,
and,
yeah, but we can really go back to 9/11, 2001, when things really ramped up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sue, for your call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. And I imagine Sue is not alone in her beliefs that, you know, she just wants to believe the best about the government.
I get that. And there is there's a cognitive dissonance that occurs because today it's just one more little thing.
It's just a gold star.
It's just a gold star. You know, I know you're Jewish. I know it may have some bad vibe for you.
Oh, it'll be different this time, Chris. This is the government.
We'll put them on all people. The gold stars.
Sure,
just
the U.S. government
on.
Rounded up people based on their being Japanese. But yeah, that was almost 100 years ago. It could never happen here again.
It would never happen here.
Right?
Right.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Just smile and do whatever it is the officer tells you to do, and you'll be safe, right? as they march you onto the cattle cars. We're coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE if you want to join us. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Join us. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, if you want to get on the radio with us to talk about whatever's on your mind. Had a sad conversation with a nice-sounding lady who...
She does sound very nice.
She believes she's doing the right thing by just obediently getting whatever form of identification the federal government demands that she have. Now, of course, if you already have a passport, you've already got a real ID, compliant ID. Just an FYI, so
right.
You don't really need to have the driver's license being real ID compliant. If you need a passport, you're good there. But for the rest of you, the claim is you won't be able to fly, and that's a scary claim for a lot of people, right? And I'm sorry, I don't believe it.
I don't either.
I think they are lying to you.
Well, how many years did we go through this in New Hampshire? It was like every 2 years.
Yep.
Warning, if you don't get the new, if New Hampshire doesn't change its evil ways,
no one will
no
be able
one
to fly.
From New Hampshire will be able to set foot into an airport. This
BS.
Went on, it's gone on as long as I've lived here, five years.
It's nonsense, and there's only one way that we're going to be able to know it's nonsense is when somebody puts it to the test and can prove it. But you already found the section on the TSA's website, what if I forget my ID? They got a whole section about how, yeah, you'll probably be able to fly, you're just going to have to bend over.
Yeah.
You know, and submit yourself to whatever questioning the guards want to question you on.
Yeah, to be clear, the TSA officer may ask you to complete an identification verification process, which includes collecting information such as your name, current address, and other personal information to confirm your identity. If your identity is confirmed, you will be allowed to enter the screening checkpoint. You will be subject to additional screening to include a pat-down and screening.
Which I always
get
anyway.
And screening of carry-on property, because they never do that otherwise, right?
I always get that anyway, because I always opt out of the scanning machine thing, the big-ass thing they've got there, whatever you call it, the electro-scan or whatever that thing is.
You will not be allowed to enter if your identity cannot be confirmed, you chose to not provide proper identification, or you declined to cooperate.
Right, so you will have to be cooperative with whatever it is they're asking. So I don't know how invasive the questions will get, but again, if you want to test this out, all you have to do is just show up way earlier than you would normally show up at the airport just to make sure they don't detain you for 2 hours so you miss your flight.
I wonder what the cheapest flight out of Manchester is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
To Boston or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's got to be like some direct flight that would cost like $50
just to test it out.
To try it out, right? Why not?
I mean, we've done all kinds of interesting, the activists here in New Hampshire have done all kinds of interesting airport protests and tests and things like that. There was the guy who actually brought a rifle to the airport, strapped to his back, and walked around the airport with a rifle.
Now, he got in trouble.
No, he didn't.
They did. They came up and confronted him because he was handing out literature.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and they wanted him to go to the free speech zone
exactly.
that they had set up outside of the airport.
Right.
At the very beginning of the terminal, which he actually, I think, kindly refused their request.
That was one of those moments when I went, yeah, I moved to the right state.
Exactly. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. Actually, we'll go over to the Discord on-air call-in line room where YodaGaming21 is on the line in Illinois. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jaden.
Hi, Jaden.
Call me that during the show. Well, first I was going to ask, where exactly, because in your intro you say that you broadcast in some of the most oppressive regimes. I was just going to ask what some of these regimes are.
Oh, okay, that's not in an intro. That's actually in one of our satellites. We've got a satellite broadcast that we do over North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. So places like Cameroon, for instance, West Africa, where there's some very and Sub-Saharan Africa. I mean, some very despotic regimes there. Central America, of course, also some pretty despotic regimes there. Cuba, for instance, another one. So, yeah.
Oh, really? The satellite broadcast in Cuba?
The satellite signal reaches all of those places. It's called free-to-air. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to sat, S-A-T, sat.lrn.fm, and that'll show you the footprint of the satellite signal. There's no guarantee anybody in Cuba is listening to it, but it's there. So in theory, they can. And we actually have received calls from some gentlemen in Africa, including one in Cameroon,
yep.
who actually told us quite a bit about some of the repression that's going on there. And he absolutely found us over free-to-air satellite there. So yeah, it does happen that the ideas of liberty here on this show are reaching ears in some of the most oppressed places.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. All right. And my main topic was going to be about some of the issues that I've experienced growing up in one of the poorer neighborhoods of Chicago.
Can I ask, are you modifying your voice? I'm just curious.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm calling from my phone.
Gotcha.
Are you aware of like the CIA placing drugs in certain neighborhoods and things like that?
No, tell me about that.
Well, have you not heard? I'm not sure if it's a conspiracy theory because there seems to be enough evidence for it.
Well, there's long been claims that the CIA has run drugs at various different levels,
yeah.
But I had not heard that they were placing drugs in neighborhoods in Chicago. So tell me more about that. How did you find out about this? Do you have any personal experience, or did you just see something in the news?
Or are you referring to the CIA getting busted for? They were very involved in the creation of crack.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, and I've experienced some, well, not necessarily personal, but from people that I know.
Okay.
What have you heard?
I'm not going to state any names, mm-hmm. just for
yep.
privacy reasons. He stated that he was approached by someone he at first assumed was an undercover police officer, but then he gained his trust, and he bought some sort of drugs from him. And
wait, who bought from who? Your friend bought from the undercover, or the undercover bought from your friend?
My friend bought from the undercover.
Okay.
Okay.
And then he was redistributing them, and he happened to sell them back to another undercover, and then he was sentenced to jail. And he spent like 15 years in jail.
Yikes.
Okay.
And before meeting the undercover,
Are you suggesting that the undercover agent, you just dropped out there with some packets, so we missed
what... I'm pretty sure he was convinced, actually, into selling the drugs.
So he was talked into. Now that you've got all this stuff, now go sell it to all your friends, and we'll bust you later.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Now are you saying that you believe the officers, the undercovers, were CIA agents, or were they just Chicago undercover officers from the police department?
Well, I don't believe that the police agency would coordinate things like this.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's legal for them to sell actual drugs. I would agree with you.
I assume it would be some rogue federal agency like the CIA.
Well, the CIA has had lots of allegations of
funding lots of things.
Yeah, funding their own black ops through the proceeds of drug sales. And that's been...
And those go back decades. Those claims go back to the 60s and 70s, I think.
And
right?
I'm not prepared to say that those were all claims. I think some evidence come out throughout the years about the agency doing things like this. So, you know, if you got one of those budgets that's black and people can't see how money gets into it, and you're really not sure how your funding's going to go, or you're going to be, quote, self-funded, unquote... there's a whole world of possibilities that they can do when they're allowed to do criminal activity. And they are allowed to participate in criminal activity.
Thank you for the call tonight.
Part of their charter.
I appreciate the conversation. Appreciate you bringing that subject up. It's probably an issue that doesn't get enough discussion. The level of corruption within the war on drugs is very, very high. And thank you for the call. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live, live Saturday show. Ron Paul, Judge Napolitano, Doug Casey, Larkin Rose. The biggest names in the liberty movement will be at the largest gathering of freethinkers, voluntarists, libertarians, and ANCAPs in Acapulco, Mexico from February 14th through the 19th, 2019 at Anarchapulco. You'll love the lineup of speakers for 4 days among the sun and beaches of a world-class resort. Go to anarchapulco.com and use code FTL to register and receive 15% off. Anarchapulco.com, code FTL. This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Well, we didn't bring this topic in, but somebody brought up Real ID earlier tonight, and because the deadline's coming up in 2020, the new deadline that's been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back for more than a decade.
Right.
But you know, it's real this time.
This is the one.
They're really going to do it.
We're going to do it, guys.
And the claim is you're not going to be able to fly. Well, I am going to be flying here in just over a week or so, week and a half from here, going to Acapulco. In fact, the Anarchapulco event starts February 14th through the 17th. It's going to be, I think, the fifth Anarchapulco, if I recall correctly. Ron Paul is going to be the keynote speaker there. Judge Andrew Napolitano will be there for the first time. Ron Paul, it's going to be his second time. Last time it was a sold-out event, standing room only, to watch Ron Paul speak. And you're not going to have too many more chances to get to go see Ron Paul speak, so you ought to go to Anarchapulco because it's a great event besides the fact that Ron Paul is going to be there. Speakers will be in the dozens, multiple stages. They'll be discussing entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships for 4 days among the sun and beaches of a world-class resort. It is a wonderful place, and I'm grateful to have gone there for the last couple of years. I'm looking forward to broadcasting Free Talk Live from the event, and so you can come out, and Mark and I are going to be there. You can meet us, and we'll be interviewing a variety of different speakers and such. You can still get a discount, from what I understand, by using code FTL over at anarchapulco.com. Code FTL, like Free Talk Live, at anarchapulco.com. As we continue, we will take your calls and your thoughts. Let's go to Calvin, listening in Indianapolis to WIBC. Go ahead, Calvin.
Yeah, I appreciate your comments and sure. Your show, and I think we're kind of on the same page of smaller government, bottom-up government, fiscally responsible constitutional government.
I want but zero government, but I think you're all right.
We're good. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I would love that to some degree, but anyway. But I think your topic is like literally thousands of other topics that we're stooping over dollars to pick up pennies. In terms of without bottom-up control of the government, this is almost a mute discussion because it's another example of top-down government. And it comes back to the point, I wonder why we can't get a focused effort, both in media and in every way, to just burn a hole in the idea of term limits. That without term limits, control will continue to happen from the top, from a select few, and we will get what you're talking about this evening. And we can talk about it till the cows come home, but we're not going to affect it until we get that change.
So to you, the key to this whole thing, to all our problems and difficulties, is term limits at, I assume, the congressional level, the Senate level. We already got them at the presidential level. What do you think good term limits are? Do you think we need to change the terms? Instead of being there for 2 years, they should be there 1 year, or 6 years for a senator, they should be there 4. Are we in the realm of changing the Constitution, or are we talking about trying to do something administratively?
I think we have to change the Constitution. I understand that seems like an impossible task, but I don't think we can give up on it because I think it's the only answer. But bottom line of it is, I think we do need to limit the number of terms. The size of the term is not so much consideration, but career politicians is what we have to absolutely stop. And if we read back to the First Continental Congress, they knew this was one of the major flaws in the Constitution, but they negotiated it away for other things.
Yep.
But they knew that we would face this day or face what we're facing. And I think anything short of it, all of these issues, and I mean, we could just name them for hours here, of issues that come back to this one point.
Are you of the belief that that a term limit is going to stop power seekers from seeking power?
Do you think this will fix the problem?
I do think it'll fix. I don't think it'll fix it in the way you're talking about, because those people will always be out there. And obviously, we've seen examples of where power seekers got it in other countries, et cetera, other situations. But I do believe that at this point now, it's just almost institutionalized.
It is. And I can imagine how hard it's going to be for all these lobbyists to update all their Rolodex cards. Who's the new guy that's controlling tobacco? Who do I need to bribe now?
Exactly.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of work for them to keep track of.
Are you being facetious?
I am being completely facetious. So my counter to this is... It is. I will certainly agree with you that the problem is systemic, What I'm so disillusioned by is that there is any fix that would be allowed to take. And I'm not saying that a constitutional amendment is hard or difficult. I'm just saying the last one we passed took 203 years to do.
Well, I agree, but here's my point is this, that I think that we know that the general electorate is not overly well-informed and doesn't have a desire to be well-informed, and we only exacerbate that problem by throwing these thousands of issues in front of them instead of focusing on the one issue to where at least they can grab a hold of it, retain it, maybe understand it, to the point that we might move this country if there was an incredibly focused effort that this was our main discussion, and we talked about it and we educated about it to where people really did see this could have the greatest possibility of impacting so many of the
panacea.
I agree with you completely is the phrase education, because that's how we're going to change things. When we're talking about a term limit, which I happen to agree with, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't reduce the term limit, but I'm concerned about the 10 years.
So let's get rid of Ron
Paul. Yeah, sadly, you
do. He had 12 terms.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the risk that you end up losing people that actually do good.
Of course, he was the only one that's ever really done anything good. So.
The Ron Paul example. But the reality is if they're going to fight this, like I know they're going to fight this because they love their power, then we can spend 50 years waiting on term limits. And what I don't disagree that we should talk about it and explain what the problems are, but until people change, then the system isn't going to change. And right now,
well, the politicians sure as hell aren't going to change.
They're not, got a great thing going,
right,
man.
I mean, you're not going to get these people to all of a sudden support lowering their pay, restricting the number of terms that they have, cutting down their benefits. I mean, these are things that just seem pie in the sky. I mean, you want to talk about something that I think can change things. I mean, if we want to talk about pie in the sky concepts that might actually have some effect, how about we just forget about the federal government, Calvin? How about we just, you know, secede? How about Indiana? How about New Hampshire? How about Texas? How about all these states? Why don't we just break it up and call it a day, call it a failed experiment? It did not protect freedom. In fact, it created the federal government is essentially the world's police force that created the biggest, most hegemonic government that we have in the entire planet right now. So abject failure. Let's just call it a done deal and secede. How about that one?
We just take off. We'll exercise the 10th Amendment. What do you think?
And my feeling about that is, number one, that's an even bigger walk-up than getting to term limits, number one. I'd take term limits in the interim, and I think it could possibly take
There's not going to be an interim. And to get secession, and to secede, you don't have to convince the whole nation. You just have to convince your state, the people within a much smaller area.
But point is, I think secession basically was going to create chaos.
What do you mean?
And unfortunately—
Whoa. What kind of chaos?
You got 50 different states. I mean, basically, I've sat at the borders of Europe before the EU. I know what that was like. That's where you're headed eventually.
How about?
And so now we've got 50 borders we got to try and get, and our whole interstate commerce gets upset.
No. I'm talking about New Hampshire. We'll keep this local, New Hampshire and Indiana. What would an independent Indiana look like?
Well, but my point is it won't stop there. You'll have 50 independent states.
What's wrong with that? Why is that such a bad idea?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds good in concept, but my point is the EU came together because basically that concept wasn't working in Europe.
I think socialists really wanted a centrally planned state.
Yeah, I mean, the EU came together because people are seeking power and they want more power.
The EU came about primarily, but the belief of the people was in commerce. That was the primary thing. Now, granted, I agree all the other things you're talking about were effective of it as well.
Commerce happened fine before the EU. They didn't need to have...
No. You haven't run an international company.
And they did complicate it with a bunch of silly regulations and silly tariffs.
You're talking about the EU complicated it?
I'm talking about the individual city-states.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Well, that's Europe.
And that's the problem with the state.
It's the problem with regulation, the problem with the fact that the state exists in the first place. So creating more a mega state from a bunch of little states is not going to make anything better. Thank you, Calvin, for the call, though. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. Live Saturday edition of the show. You can dial in toll-free here. The number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up anything that you want with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Chris.
Don't forget that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com, your premier source or everything Bitcoin related. They can help you choose a Bitcoin wallet. You can buy Bitcoin through Bitcoin.com, and they'll show you where you can spend it as well. In fact, in some places, you spend it and you get a discount for spending it, like SaveItPurse.com, mm-hmm. where you can save up to 33% on your purchases at Amazon, and that's no joke. I do it all the time. Usually, I shoot for like 20 to 25% off, and it's amazing.
You get it every freaking time.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It works really well. You can also get the latest news or engage with the community on the Bitcoin forum. Plus, I got a great Bitcoin Academy to give you the basics on what cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is. Go to Bitcoin.com. That's, again, Bitcoin.com. Let's continue here with your calls and thoughts. Let's go to Matthew. He's listening in Louisiana. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, or good evening, rather.
Yes, sir.
How are y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind there?
Well, I was listening to y'all discussing putting people in cattle cars and taking them away. Well, the only way that would be possible is if the government had a registry of everybody who had a weapon and was able to take the weapon away from them, you know, for their own safety, of course.
Right.
Deciding to put, and they wouldn't use cattle cars. Nothing's as crude as that. Nowadays, they use air-conditioned motor coaches. I mean, come on. This is like the
21st
century. We got to keep the people comfortable before we re-educate them. It's
fair enough.
Re-educate them. It's, you know, they no longer have job skills that are relevant in the modern economy.
True.
So we've got to teach them new ones. We've got to teach them coding. Everybody must learn coding.
Like computer coding?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, because, you know, nobody can actually, you know, do any blue-collar kind of work anymore. So. Mm. That's what coding. They can't do reporting anymore, apparently, either. But that's another story. And your friend from Indiana called about term limits.
Yeah.
We have those here in Louisiana. And
how'd
you know
that work
how
out?
They're working? They suck.
So, okay, hold on. I want to hear more about this.
What sucked about it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us.
So, I mean, the big claim for those just tuning in with term limits is it's going to solve. And this guy that called in literally seemed to think it was going to be the key to solving everything.
It was the one thing he latched onto that will solve all our problems.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. First of all, that on its face sounds ridiculous. But secondly, my main concern was just because you term limit these people doesn't mean you're going to get any less corrupt or, you know, power seeking scum that are going to look for those offices. So Louisiana is known as one of the most corrupt states in the union. Now, they're all corrupt, but Louisiana, for whatever reason, is sort of out there as one of the worst. So you say you've had term limits?
We're meeting with Illinois, and we're holding them real close.
Yeah, yeah. So you've had term limits there in Louisiana, and for how long?
We've had them for about the last 10 years,
okay.
And they blow the big one.
How many years do state reps...
Well, as my dear friends would say.
How many years does a state rep get to stay in office, and for how many terms do they get to stay?
He gets to be a state rep for 2 terms,
mm-hmm.
and then he can run for state senate for 2 terms.
Okay.
And when they're in their last term in the state senate, whatever the voters thought they were sending him there to do, he does whatever the lobbyists are willing to pay him to do.
Oh, of course, of course. So and, how long are your terms?
For state rep, it's 2 years.
Okay.
For state snake, it's 4.
Okay. Okay.
So that's 12 years that somebody, if they got it elected to state rep, 2 terms plus two terms at state senate, that's a 12 years they can stay there.
Well, what he's saying is you really only have 4 years to make all your money, right?
As a state rep, you mean?
Right. No, your last 4 years as a state senator.
You do it in your last year as state senator.
Oh, yeah.
And you deliver all kinds of surprises that the voters didn't actually thought they were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wait a minute. You didn't say you were going to do all of this when you were voting. And some of it may be a good idea, but you should actually talk about it, you know, when you're running. Just saying.
Yeah, I get it. And for the life of me, you know, and I've puzzled over this for the last couple of years, I recognize that there are systemic problems with our system. And I'm one of those guys that I've liked the Constitution for too long for it not to give me... I have some respect for the ideas that went into
it. Gives you a warm feeling inside.
It does. It makes me want to put my hand over. No, it doesn't make me want to put a hand over my heart. But But it's one of those things I go back to and I go, damn it, if we just follow this thing. You guys, every state agreed on this. We came together. We formed a compact. Mm-hmm. We would all agree and do what it says, but
actually,
nobody
they're
does
all dead.
It.
Well, you weren't there.
Let me ask y'all a philosophical question, and this has bothered me every time I first heard this statement. I think it was Washington. It could have been Madison who said, our Constitution and our form of government is suitable only for a moral and Christian people. And then I look at what the people were like when the country was founded.
There were a bunch of deists. They weren't like Christians. That. I mean, there were some Christians, but a lot of the major players were Christians.
Some were deists.
Yeah.
Jefferson was a deist after his wife died.
Okay.
He came back to Christ later.
Really?
But after his wife died, he was just so devastated. And, you know, Franklin was, who could tell what he was? I mean, depends on the day of the week. You look at the people of the founding, not the founding fathers themselves, but the people who lived in what was the United States America at the time of the signing of the Constitution. And church attendance was only 17%. The people were less, shall we say, moral and upstanding than they are today.
Less pious?
Really?
Yeah, no, they really were less moral and upstanding. If you look at the things that could be measured, the one thing that they were not, and they would be very suspicious of, is the government offering them gifts. I think. I'm not sure. And now we have a situation where we're theoretically more moral. At the same time, our government is just unbelievably out of control.
Yeah,
it's
worse than
ever. Can agree what the priorities are.
And nobody, you know, this last guy that was on, he believes this is the answer, term limits. Of course, like you're saying, not everyone agrees on priorities, so everybody else has their own ideas as to, well, term limits are good, but we need to focus over here. We need a flat tax, or we need a, you know, fill in the blank.
Right.
Whatever it is their issue of the moment happens to be, their panacea, the cure-all, essentially, for all of the things that ail this government, which is why I say, why not just leave it behind and say, forget it. We clearly can't get along with these people. And by these people, I mean the government people.
That may ultimately be the solution, but here is the biggest bugaboo I have with term limits, is it empowers a bureaucracy. And though, so you have a situation where the FBI will show up with a SWAT team to basically drag an old man out for what amounts to, at most, a white-collar crime.
You talking about Roger Stone, this guy, this political guy?
Oh, yeah, the crazy wild swinger with the tattoo of Nixon, of all things.
That's creepy.
What's up with that? I thought I was the only one with one of those.
That is the weirdest thing. Why would you want to tattoo a politician on yourself?
It would be temporary in case I did it, because, you know, the politician's going to change anyway.
Yeah, so. I don't know why. I mean, I didn't know that about that guy. I mean, I knew he was a scummy political operative, but that is just one of the most bizarre things I think I've ever heard. I've heard of some weird tattoos, but
we tattoo our money with it.
That takes the cake.
Roger Stone is one of the weirdest characters around. I think if you ever had a chance to talk to him, you would probably enjoy it. At the same time, you'd think, this dude is very strange.
Matthew, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. So Matthew's saying, hey, look, this term limit stuff is nonsense. You're showing me a picture right now of Stone's Nixon tattoo. It is right in the small, not small of his back, but the square between his shoulders, basically.
There you go.
And that is very strange. I'm not sure what that's about. I don't know why. I mean, I understand that people get tattoos of things that mean a lot to them. I just find that sick.
I do, too.
It's disgusting. At least he doesn't have to look at it all the time because it's on his back, right?
Yep,
that's where you put that's where you put the tattoo you don't really want to look at.
Right.
But still, it's bizarre.
That's bizarre. Right.
So, more coming up here. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. We got the story about socialism in Venezuela, and actually, surprisingly, good column from, of all places, the New York Times. We can share that with you on the way. You can also share your thoughts with us. What's the panacea? What's the cure-all? What is it that you think is going to solve all the government's problems? It's Free Talk Live.
Do you operate a retail business and are looking for a solution for point-of-sale cryptocurrency acceptance? It's never been easier, thanks to AnyPay.global. There's no paperwork or approval process to open an account. If you already have a tablet at your cash register, you're almost done. Just sign up at AnyPay.global. Drop your personal crypto wallet addresses in our setup page, and then load our app. That's it. You're accepting cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Dash at your store. Get started now at AnyPay.global. That's AnyPay.global.
Good on that.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of this live Saturday edition of the show. You can dial in toll-free, bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And those rooms actually allow you to get on the air and sound pretty great. We've had a couple of Discord calls tonight, and it's been fantastic. So feel free to utilize those. It takes, you know, a little bit of extra preparation, right? Like if you want to pick up the phone, dial some numbers, that's the easiest way, the quickest way to get in. But if you do go through the steps, get the Discord app. It's free. You create your Discord account through the app, and then you go on your web browser to discord.lrn.fm. It'll pop open your Discord app, and it'll jump you right into our server. And then all you got to do from that point on is to just join the Discord call-in line rooms that we have there at the top of our room listing. So once you do the setup, calling on Discord's actually easier, but you got to get through the setup portions because, you know, then you don't even have to dial a bunch of numbers. You just click on the room you want
to
join.
Yeah, people are used to that kind of thing by now, right?
I guess. I don't know. I didn't know what Discord was before a year ago.
I know, but it took me a couple minutes, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's all there was to it.
Yeah, it's not hard to do.
Yeah.
It's easy. Just jump through the hoops. Discord.lrn.fm, and there is a web app that you can kind of test it out with, but I recommend you download the actual app for it. All right, so Ian and Chris here in the studio. I said I got a piece that was actually was posted on Discord, because Discord is actually one of the ways I get some of the best show prep from our listeners who are just constantly putting interesting news stories into the news stories show prep chat room there on Discord. This one came from Footmatic, a post from the New York Times, relatively short opinion piece by Brett Stevens or Steffens, an opinion columnist there. Headline, "Yes, Venezuela is a socialist catastrophe. In the age of AOC," meaning Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, "the lesson must be learned again." He starts out here saying, "Conspicuous by its absence in much of the mainstream news coverage of Venezuela's political crisis," because there's been a lot of news about Venezuela that has been big headlines this week. You know, for those of you who may not have heard, there's a bit of a division between two political sides there. One of them, the establishment, Nicolas Maduro, the president of the country, who is now claiming his second term in office, and another one, the so-called opposition, who we learned this week are also socialists, but they're not Maduro, so therefore they're the good guys, according to them. We know Maduro's not the good guy, but I don't know for sure
he's proven that
Juan Guaido is any better. Regardless, he's the outsider. And so Guaido is claiming that he is the rightful president of Venezuela. He's got the National Assembly, which is opposition-controlled, that backs him, Guaido. And Maduro, the so-called president, he's got the Supreme Court backing him.
As I was saying before, I was speaking to a Venezuelan gentleman today.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the election, and I was like, well, Maduro doesn't really allow anyone to run against him, hasn't in the past.
He's arrested some of his competitors in the past.
And he was talking a little bit about that. He's like, no. The way it's written is that there, if the president declares there is no clear winner, then the president continues on while they investigate.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of the gist of it. So, yeah, basically, you are a banana republic dictator for life.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally corrupt. And and they have arrested his competitors in the past as well, just to disqualify them from, you know, being elected and all that. So that's what you've got. That's kind of the genesis of the international conflict. The international side of it comes into play when earlier this or middle, I guess midpoint this week, I think it was Wednesday, Maduro ordered the U.S. diplomats to leave within 72 hours.
Yes.
So we are now right near the tail end of that 72-hour deadline at this point. The U.S. government's response was basically, you're not the president, Maduro. We don't recognize you as the president. We're recognizing this Guaido character. And so since you're not the president, you don't have the right to order our diplomats out of your country. You can't break that agreement. You aren't the president. So therefore, we're just going to stay put. We're going to stay right where we are. Now, there was another report saying that they did let their non-essential office staff or whatever leave the embassy, so that some of them have left. But they're staying put, purportedly. While on the other hand, Russia came back today and said, hey, look, first of all, the threat from the U.S. was, Maduro, if you mess with our guys, we're going to do something about it, suggesting perhaps some sort of military incursion into Venezuela. And
Save
Russia then came back with, because Russia backs the Maduro government, Russia came in and said, you mess with Maduro, we're going to come in to Venezuela as well. So it's basically it's turned into a potential flashpoint for international conflict at this point. And that's kind of what led us to this story. So with all the coverage about Venezuela, the guy over at the New York Times is saying they've avoided using the word socialism. He says, yes, every sensible observer agrees that Latin America's once richest country, sitting atop the world's largest proven oil reserves, is an economic basket case, a humanitarian disaster, and a dictatorship whose demise cannot come soon enough. But socialist? Perish the thought. Or so goes the line of argument that insists socialism's good name shouldn't be tarred by the results of experience. On Venezuela, what you're likelier to read is that the crisis is the product of corruption, cronyism, populism, authoritarianism, resource dependency, U.S. sanctions, and trickery, even the residues of capitalism itself. Just don't mention the S word, because, you know, it's working really well in Denmark.
Right.
Now let's address that real fast here, because that is what some people have been saying as well. Yes. The Venezuelan socialism is the wrong kind of socialism. We need the Scandinavian socialism.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. That's the right way to do it.
The Scandinavian countries that have pretty much turned their back on socialism for going on a decade.
As far as the definition of the state ownership of the means of production, that kind of socialism?
Well, very much so. And even the idea of them being nothing but a huge socialist state, which is what American politicians love to claim.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's taxation of high levels in those states.
There is.
And wealth redistribution programs.
I went to to an Austrian economics it was basically a conference of scholars. And needless to say, I was there as a visitor. But one gentleman who spoke was from Denmark, and he talked about, you know, the myth of this miracle. So the basic timeline goes like this. The Scandinavian countries embrace capitalism and grow their wealth tremendously, like growth like we have never seen before, and they were good at it. And they had all this money. And they said, what can we do to share this wealth? And you had a lot of politicians who said, let's spread this around. Let's start these programs so we can help take care of people that need taken care of. So they did it. And very quickly, it became very apparent that their spending was way, way out of control. And to do anything, they would have to raise taxes tremendously to maintain this level of service that everyone had grown accustomed to. And when they did that, they began scaling it back. So, you know, the Scandinavian countries are very quick to point out we are not socialists, we are capitalists. And what I would say is that is a lesson that they have learned by what they have brought upon themselves. And again, that's going from an economist from that part of the world. And I kind of give him a little bit of credence that things have trended very much the other direction. It's hard to roll those things back.
I know that when it comes to those countries, I think that was the Foundation for Economic Education did a piece on that a little while back. I'm pretty sure we shared it here on Free Talk Live, and it basically said kind of what you were saying there.
Right.
That's not to say they don't have wealth redistribution programs or anything like
Certainly.
That. They're still governments.
Right.
I mean, the U.S. government has socialist policies, Social Security, for instance. You know, it's government wealth, forced wealth redistribution. But ultimately, state ownership of the means of production, which is sort of the classic definition of socialism, That's not what's happening in the Scandinavian countries.
No.
That happened in Venezuela.
True.
Where Maduro and his predecessor nationalized industries and ran them into the ground.
Sure.
And then you've got all this bad economics at the same time of them basically just printing money like sure. crazy and getting to hyperinflation. So let's talk more about what's going on down there as the Venezuela's in the headlines of the world right now. And again, we're coming up on the end of that 72-hour window. So what's the rest of this weekend going to look like? Sounds like Trump is going to call Maduro's bluff, or is it a bluff? In which case, will we be seeing international conflict within Latin America? The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. Yep, it's Free Talk Live. We're talking about socialism and how it fails every single time. And the toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. The current world leader in failure is Venezuela. And it's an unfortunate situation if you are living there.
Sad.
For the rest of us, it's a lesson to be observed and hopefully learned from. Even though the world doesn't seem to have learned its lessons when it comes to socialism and communism, it just keeps the world just keeps having to teach these lessons. Whether or not people are paying attention is another question.
So, indeed.
We're sharing some of this story from the New York Times, and we'll continue that here in a moment. But I do want to let you know about Smart Cash. Smart Cash is yet another cryptocurrency, but they're you know, there's a lot of competition in the world of cryptos. What is it that makes Smart Cash different? Well, I mean, it certainly is fast, it's secure, and it's easy to use, but pretty much most cryptos can make those claims. Smart Cash, however, has its Smart Hive governance model, which actually allows you, a Smart Cash holder, if you are one, and it's not hard to get Smart Cash because they're less than 2 cents a piece, but the Smart Cash holder, you can actually vote on the proposals on how to use Smart Cash. So they have a promotional budget, basically a certain amount every month that gets added in there that they can spend in some way or another. Like one of the things they spent it on was advertising here on Free Talk Live. And so Smart Cash holders voted in favor of that proposal. So thank you for doing that. But every one smart that you have is one vote that you have. So you don't have to have some astronomical number of these things in order to be able to participate. One smart, it's one vote. You go to smartcash.cc, you can learn more there, and also learn about their smart rewards, which actually rewards you for holding on to over 1,000 smart. That's not even $20 worth at this point, so not hard to acquire that. And hold it for a month without any outgoing transaction in a wallet in which you hold the keys, and you will get smart rewards every single month. Smartcash.cc is where you go to learn more. As we continue here, sharing the interesting piece from the New York Times, of all places, about the socialism in Venezuela and how it's a major failure. Pointing out initially here in the piece that the media seems to ignore this, that the media blames all kinds of things for the failure of Venezuela, but doesn't really talk about socialism. Obviously, let me go on here with the story, or curiously rather, that's not how the Venezuelan regime's admirers used to speak of 21st century socialism, as it was dubbed by Hugo Chavez. Remember, now the socialists are saying, oh, well, they did it wrong. They did it wrong. Now we need to do it more like the,
fill in the blank. They right. say this every time.
Right. So as it was dubbed by Hugo Chavez, 21st century socialism, the late Venezuelan president said Britain's Jeremy Corbyn, quote, "He showed us there is a difference in a better way of doing things. It's called socialism. It's called social justice. And it's something that Venezuela has made a big step toward." Now, remember, this is back when Chavez was in charge. And everybody was, oh, this is great. Socialism.
The Venezuelan miracle. Hey, yeah, Jimmy Carter talking about it.
Noam Chomsky was similarly enthusiastic when he praised Chavez in 2009. He said at the time, quote, "What's so exciting about it, last visiting Venezuela, is I can see how a better world is being created and can speak to the person who's inspired it."
I want to meme that. I want to use that quote under the picture of sad, starving people in
Venezuela.
Garbage
in the streets.
Right. Empty stores, shelves, no food to be had, no medicine to be had.
It's true.
That's what your miracle has brought.
Nor were many of the Chavez admirers overly worried about his regime's darker sides. Chomsky walked back some of his praise as Venezuela became more overtly dictatorial, but others on the left weren't as squeamish. In a lengthy obituary in The Nation, New York University professor Greg Grandin opined, quote, "The biggest problem Venezuela faced during his rule was not that Chavez was authoritarian, but that he wasn't authoritarian enough."
See, that's when you need a stronger strongman.
Right, he just wasn't ruling with enough of an iron fist. We need two iron fists.
Double down.
At least Grandin could implicitly concede that socialism ultimately requires coercion to achieve its political aims. Otherwise, it's human nature to find loopholes and workarounds and keep as much of your property as you can. That's more than can be said for some of Chavez's erstwhile defenders, who would prefer to forget just how closely Venezuela followed the orthodox socialist script. Government spending on social programs? Check. From 2000 to 2013, spending rose to 40% of GDP from 28%. Raising the minimum wage? Check. Nicolas Maduro, the current president, raised it no fewer than 6 times last year. Hey, those people must be really wealthy.
Except it did not come close to keeping up with inflation.
No.
But you got to make them feel better, so raise their rate of worthless money.
But the same thing. But, okay, so even without, let's just address the minimum wage thing, because it's an issue still here in the United States.
Certainly.
To this day, and we don't have hyperinflation here, but the same problem is still persistent, which is to say that the raising of the minimum wage doesn't actually help anybody, regardless of inflation or hyperinflation.
Sure.
Because raising the minimum wage just means that the business owners have to adjust things.
Right.
So you adjust, either cut your staff, cut the current staff's hours, cut down the quality of the product that you happen, if you're a manufacturer, cut the quality, use some cheaper parts or whatever. And let's see, you can also, there's another one that I'm forgetting right now.
You can realize that some of the jobs that you previously offered poor people are now illegal.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Minimum wage laws make some jobs illegal.
Sure.
It's not a question of whether government says that some job is worth something. Employers know what jobs are worth. People know what jobs are worth. And some jobs just aren't worth $16 an hour. And if it's now illegal to pay someone what the job is worth, then you look at alternatives like robots to make flip frickin' burgers, which is now being done.
That's the other one. So cut jobs, replace them with other ways to produce.
Technology.
That are more efficient. And then the other one was raise prices. It's like that's the last one they want to do. You don't want to raise your prices because that's when the customers will notice. But
sure.
Customers will also notice the cutbacks. We talked about the within the last couple of weeks, New York City had a raise in minimum wage for their employees, businesses that have more than 10 employees. So 11 employees or more, they got to go up to $15 an hour. That's the deal. And so there was a story all about the restaurants and how they're handling this. They're cutting jobs.
Of course they are.
They're cutting out. One restaurateur was like, yeah, well, if you come here during lunchtime or, you know, the middle of the day or whatever, we don't have a hostess anymore.
Right.
I'm just going to get rid of that position. They put a sign up. Seat yourself.
Yeah.
So that's one example. And then they were just cutting the existing staff, cutting their hours back. If you are a 11-person or 12-person business, try to cut it back to 10.
Right. You know? So if this doesn't work for a restaurant, how was Obamacare supposed to work when if you exceeded 50? Again, an arbitrary number. Once you went over 50 employees, then you were subject to all the whims of Obamacare. So what do we create? A whole bunch of companies with 49 employees. That's exactly what happened.
There's more coming up here. Your calls and thoughts. More on Venezuela's socialism failure. And you can join us here. You can bring up what you want as well. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You may take control of the airwaves. Also join our Discord over at discord.lrn.fm.
You want to know the 37 items you must have to survive a crisis? Then I've got some good news for you. Former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author Jason Hansen is now giving listeners a free copy of his book, The Escape Bag Blueprint, 37 Items You Must Have to Survive a Crisis. You can claim your copy at freeescapebook.com. Don't delay. Jason reveals the guns, knives, flashlights, and water filters that could save your life in an economic collapse or grid down event. Get your free book today, freeescapebook.com. freeescapebook.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts welcome here. The toll-free number 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
So you can bring up anything you want. We're talking about Venezuelan socialism here. And I just was looking because I wanted to see, Chris, we're toward the end of the 72-hour deadline that Nicolas Maduro had given the U.S. diplomats. He said, we're breaking ties. You guys got to go. 72 hours, you got to be gone. And the Trump administration responded saying, yeah, we don't recognize you as the president, so therefore you aren't authorized to break the agreement, so therefore we're not going anywhere. And if you do something, we're going to bring our military in. It was basically what they said. Then Russia came in and said, well, if you do something to Venezuela, U.S., we're coming in. So it was looking pretty bad there. And so my question was, would Maduro blink? Turns out, according to ABC News, as of this evening, Maduro blinked. Venezuela's government has backtracked on the order that gave U.S. embassy personnel 72 hours to leave the country. The Foreign Affairs Ministry said it's now negotiating the establishment of a U.S. interests office in Venezuela and will allow U.S. embassy personnel to remain in the country while talks take place. So those talks could go for who knows how long.
Right.
So they're, so that was good. That's a little good news. We're not going to see international conflict yet.
It is.
In Venezuela. Hopefully never. But that's not the only breaking news in Venezuela. Just 90 minutes ago, the news has come out that a man identifying himself as Venezuela's military attaché in Washington has now broken with Nicolas Maduro. Of course, he's safely in Washington. and says he will now report to an opposition leader trying to wrest control of the government. In a video published Saturday, Colonel José Luis Silva called on other members of the military to join him in defecting from the Maduro government, saying they need to avoid attacking protesters whose only aim is to feed themselves. He said in the video, quote, "The armed forces have a fundamental role to play in the restoration of democracy." He said in an office video shot at the Venezuelan embassy in Washington, sitting in front of their flag. Venezuela's top commanders have pledged loyalty to Maduro's government in the days since National Assembly President Juan Guaido declared himself the interim leader with the aim of calling new elections in accordance with the Constitution.
So something else occurred earlier today that may have had something to do with his generals and military starting to defect.
Well, it's just the guy in Washington at this point.
Well, it's more of them that are switching over to the opposition side.
Well, there were 27 National Guardsmen within the last couple of weeks that tried to do some kind of an uprising, and they were crushed.
Pushed down.
Yeah, but you're saying others are flipping?
I'm just saying that one event may have something to do with that, too, and that was Maduro's attempt to withdraw $1.2 billion in gold from the Bank of England.
I just saw that story.
Yeah. So,
and they denied him.
And they denied it, which made me think of, we have this saying in the Bitcoin and blockchain worlds that if you have the keys, it's your money. If you have the private keys to something, it's yours. This is like saying to Maduro, yeah, you thought you had the keys to your gold, but you don't really have the keys to your gold.
You let us hold on to it.
You let us hold on to it, so we're not giving it to you.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, so if you think about that, right, in a country that's starved from real money, any money that has actual value that's not tanking at a 1,000,000% inflation rate, then I'm sure that $1.2 billion could have came in real handy in propping himself up.
And there was some talk about having those bank accounts, those outside Venezuelan bank accounts like you're talking about, whether it's gold or dollars or whatever it is that they've got, freezing those accounts and then handing them over to the opposition.
Yeah.
So there's actually been talk about that. It's not, I don't know if that's actually happened, but this sounds like step one, which is to freeze the account and not, at the very least not allow Maduro to get access to it. So those are what's going. That's what's going on in Venezuela right now, according to the news media. We've got more here, but let's go first to Diane. She's in Michigan listening to WTKG there in Grand Rapids. Hey, Diane.
Hey, I think that article is ridiculous.
What article?
And the one you were reading from.
About socialism?
I'm sorry?
The one about socialism?
Yes, and it's not ridiculous about socialism. It's ridiculous about that's why we're trying to take over Venezuela.
Who said we are trying to take over Venezuela?
Yeah.
No. Who said that?
We're trying to take over Venezuela because they've got oil and they won't do what we say.
Wait a minute. That's not happening.
No, not at all.
Yeah, what is the evidence that we are trying to take over Venezuela? Do you mean the U.S. federal government?
The government of the United States.
Where's the evidence for it?
That we're trying to take over Venezuela?
Yeah.
Oh, because the government of the United States, I know you don't include yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, made the proclamation that the person that was elected is no longer the head of state, which is exactly what Trump.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that? Hold on. Are you saying the majority of the Latin American countries are also trying to take over Venezuela? Because they said the same thing. How about Germany? How about the United Kingdom? How about France? How about Spain? I'm pretty sure all of them have weighed in. Those governments have weighed in as well. Is everyone trying to take over Venezuela?
How about anybody that the United States doesn't control is weighed in on the other side?
See, I'm kind of with her on this.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm with her too.
Yeah, I knew you would be. You believe almost everything she says.
I do.
You do, I know. But the idea that the United States would not side with whichever side it feels it can gain the most natural resources. The United States has a history of interference in foreign states for decades.
No doubt, but there's no military incursion.
Latin America 56 times.
It doesn't always have to be military, and that's the point.
Well, of course they want to have a puppet if they can have one, and who knows if this guy's CIA or not. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not saying it's anything like that, but I am saying, you know, the one book I keep going back to was Confessions of an Economic Hitman, mm-hmm. the guy whose job was to, when things were unstable, let's find out which side we stand the best chance with. It's a gamble. It's
that's
a toss of the dice.
That's just politics, though.
It is. With
that's not
billions of dollars behind it. So,
sure.
So should resources start to flow to the opposition guy, the U.S. can make sure a lot of money goes to the opposition guy.
Certainly.
If they
we've
feel
already offered him
that
$20
he is the
billion.
Right guy.
Are you
yeah.
saying,
sorry,
though, Diane?
Sorry, not billion, $20 million. And we've also frozen the assets of Citgo for years
yeah.
now. Which
well, that's
is one
a,
of the
that's
reasons.
A state-run company. It's run and owned
right,
by the Venezuelan.
Get their profits because we've blocked them. We've also sanctioned companies that try to do business in Venezuela. Venezuela.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of sanctions. I'd like to be clear. I'm not in favor of prohibiting Americans from doing business with people in Venezuela. I think that's a stupid idea. But regardless, are you saying you support the Maduro regime?
I'm not saying that what you're saying about socialism is wrong at all. I'm saying that this failed state failed because they had a lot of help from the United States government.
No, you're going to blame the U.S. government for Venezuela's failure? You're going to blame the U.S. government for the failure of socialism? Did the U.S. government force Venezuela to print a bunch of money?
Not socialism, of a state we couldn't control, so we did everything we could to make sure we could control it.
To destabilize it?
The last coup was 2002, and we've been plotting, not we, because the government of the United States has been plotting ever since to do it again.
And this is kind of fun. I love being the conspiracy guy in between the caller
that's
and Ian.
Fine. I'm not stating this well.
Oh, no. That's all right. But the U.S. was just caught in a plan to try to increase the rate of inflation in Iran. I mean, that made news last year. That was part of the CIA's plan to destabilize the country was to...
What, print money and throw it into Iran?
Encourage their policy to move to one to be more inflationary to decimate their currency. That was the actual goal. I'll pull something up on that.
All right, Diane. So it sounds like you're taking the side of Maduro here, basically believing
Correct.
His claim that it was all the United States. It wasn't his economic policies. It's all the United States. If only they'd left us alone, we'd be rich.
And I won't go that far.
Bunch of crap. Hey, thanks for the call, Diane. I appreciate hearing from you. More coming up, 855-450, free like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, including the conspiracy theory that it wasn't socialism that caused Venezuela's dire, horrifying circumstances with people skipping meals because they just don't have the food. With ridiculous hyperinflation happening constantly. No. That has all, it's all to do with the U.S. government. Now, look, I'm not in favor of the U.S. government, okay? I want to be clear. I'm not in favor of their meddling. I'm not in favor of their sanctions or any of the nonsense that they're doing. But the same claims were made by the predecessor to Kim Jong-un, Kim Jong-il, over there in Sure. North Korea. They would blame the U.S. government for their blackouts at night.
Yep. So here's what I'll say, because I was the one introducing some questions into this. Number one, socialism kills people. You and I know
well,
this,
government
Ian.
Kills people.
Well, the implementation of socialism allows governments to kill
sure.
in much greater numbers.
More of
and
them.
More,
yeah, more yeah. people. Yeah.
And sadly. So, yes, socialism kills. No doubt about it. What I'm saying is U.S. foreign policy is so opportunistic and so tied into, remember that whole, you know, beware the military-industrial complex, going back to Eisenhower, I truly believe, and there's a lot of indications that this is the case, that we send in our economic hitmen. Mm-hmm. And when things look like they're capable of being swayed one way or another, it's not just we're nudging policies in this direction because we can make more money in the short term.
Yeah.
It's making major change and decimating countries if we can pull it off so we make big, 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 big money later on. So all I'm saying is that, you know, in
are you
the
saying
midst
the
of
US
a Maduro...
Wait, are you saying the U.S. government backed Chavez for the purpose of destroying Venezuela?
What I'm saying is that U.S. powers at some point probably figured out some sort of a game plan to, if it was already headed towards disaster, to make it go faster and to make sure that their side is going to come out enriched out of that process.
Well, whoever it was, they weren't mega corporations because the corporations got nationalized within Venezuela. They were taken over and run
yep.
into the ground. But, so, I mean, I don't know who these moneyed interests are. They certainly aren't people who have investments there.
Well, stretch your timeline out because that's what U.S. does is we don't always look at the 2-year plan.
Uh-huh.
We may be looking at the 5-year plan. The Chinese, they look at a 1,000-year plan. They're okay doing that. We're a little bit more short. But that's the principle that we will meddle in your affairs. And we do it constantly.
The U.S. government.
The U.S. government.
Yeah, there's no
Absolutely.
Doubt that they are meddlers. There's no doubt about it. But to do what that caller did and place the blame on the U.S. government is this is why.
Oh, that's where I strayed completely.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, with every one of these incidents, you're going to have the hands of the U.S. government overtly. And you're going to have it covertly. There are going to be actions that are taken at very low levels.
Sure. They want to support like, the people who are going to be most friendly to them.
Right.
So they're going to support this Guaido character because Maduro is openly hostile to them. I mean, it's obvious that they're going to do whatever they can to support this guy, probably funneling him money, probably, you know, sending him whatever it is that he needs to try to take
right.
take the reins of power so he'll be more friendly to the United States government.
But
it has nothing to do with a failure of socialism. It's a distraction from the idea of why socialism is a failure. And they actually address it here in this article with a quote from Margaret Thatcher,
mm-hmm.
who said, well, why is it that socialism doesn't ever work? It's because eventually you run out of other people's money. Okay? You can't tax forever. You can't continue to increase taxes because you will drive the productive people out of the economy.
Yes, you will.
You take over all the businesses, nationalize the industry like they did in Venezuela. You've just destroyed the economic engines that actually make people wealthy and allow them to put food on the table. You then put it in the hands of the government, and they run it into the ground. We can tell you more from the story here, but let's go to Joe, also in Grand Rapids, listening to WTKG. Hello, Joe.
Yeah, socialism is what destroyed Venezuela. It wasn't the United States.
That's right.
Like you said, you know, they kicked out all the evil capitalists who knew what they were doing and had a profit motive to do it right.
Right.
And they had a bunch of bureaucrats take over these industries.
One of the biggest enemies, you know, according to Nicolas Maduro in the last 5 years, was a major food corporation CEO. He would love to point to this guy as some sort of cause of problems. And they wanted to take over, and I believe they did nationalize at least a couple of the food companies there in Venezuela.
The gentleman I was talking to today, who again, Venezuelan,
yep,
was telling me of his sister, his other sister, who had a reduction in pay. She was second or third person in charge of a major food company down there.
Yep.
She is now down to $26 equivalent U.S. Per month.
My God.
Yeah, and we're talking like third or fourth. Like you're the senior vice president X in a company. Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe. What else did you want to say?
These dictators, they always have a scapegoat. And
yeah.
I mean, man, just look at history. Read Animal Farm by Orwell. It's the same junk. You get a group of thugs who take over the government. They say they're going to, you know, look out for the workers and the common man.
Mm-hmm.
And they become worse than the oppressors that they replaced. You know,
yep.
It's
and they get fat as their people start losing weight because they can't get three meals a day. They're skipping a meal or two every day over there in most places.
All the zoo animals down there, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wake up.
Joe, good call. Thanks for sharing your thoughts tonight. I appreciate it. So back to the story here from the New York Times on socialism in Venezuela. They're kind of going through the checklist of the things that, you know, all the socialists say you got to have in socialism. Raising the minimum wage. Well, they did it 6 times last year. Didn't make a damn bit of difference. Government spending on social programs. They got that up to 40% of GDP as of 2013. And Naomi Klein, an economy based on co-ops, not corporations. Check. As Naomi Klein wrote in her fawning 2007 book, The Shock Doctrine, quote, Chavez has made the co-ops a top political priority. By 2006, there were roughly 100,000 cooperatives in the country, employing more than 700,000 workers.
Oh my gosh.
And lest we forget, all of this was done as Chavez won election after another during the oil boom years. Indeed, one of the chief selling points of Chavismo to its Western fans wasn't just that it was an example of socialism, but democratic socialism, too.
Ah.
If the policy prescriptions were familiar, the consequences were predictable. Government overspending created catastrophic deficits when oil prices plummeted. Governments don't stop spending once revenue goes down.
Oh, God, no.
When oil prices plummeted, worker co-ops wound up in the hands of incompetent and corrupt political cronies. The government responded to its budgetary problems by printing money, leading to inflation. Inflation led to price controls, leading to shortages. Shortages led to protests, leading to repression and the destruction of democracy. Thence to widespread starvation, critical medical shortages, an explosion in crime, and a refugee crisis to rival Syria's. All of this used to be obvious enough, but in the age of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it has to be explained all over again. And as Margaret Thatcher pointed out, eventually you run out of other people's money, and that's why socialism fails. So what now? The Trump administration took exactly the right step, says the author here, in recognizing National Assembly leader Juan Guaido as Venezuela's constitutionally legitimate president. It can bolster his personal security by warning Venezuela's generals that harm will come to them if harm comes to Guaido. It can enhance his political standing by providing access to funds that can help him establish an alternative government and entice wavering figures in the Maduro camp to switch sides. It can put Venezuela on the list of state sponsors of terrorism and warn Cuba that it will be returned to that list if they continue to aid Caracas's intelligence apparatus. So these are all ways the U.S. government can manipulate. He's
sure.
Giving ideas here of what you were talking about.
Absolutely.
Them manipulating the international situation. And they can even say here they could arrange legal immunity and a plane for Maduro, his family, and other leading members of the regime if they will agree to resign now. And this has happened before, right?
Right.
Where these scum who have ruled with an iron fist over these countries just gets to waltz off into the sunset.
Absolutely.
And retire in Chile or wherever it is they end up.
Well, they're probably facing some health problems, too. That's always a good excuse.
Maduro, he's well-fed.
Well, yeah, but there's usually it's pretty common that, well, you know, they needed medical help, too, so they agreed to fly to the United States on a little airline called Evergreen Air, which is always the one the CIA trots to. Yeah, whoever needs out of country. Call
in the meantime,
Evergreen Air.
Says, surely there's a compound in Havana where that gang can live out their days without tyrannizing a nation. In the meantime, the larger lesson of Venezuela's catastrophe should be learned. 20 years of socialism, cheered by Corbyn, Klein, Chomsky, and co., led to the ruin of a nation. They may not be much embarrassed, much less personally harmed by what they helped to do. It's for the rest of us to take care that it never be done to us. Of course, the problem is, it's already being done. It's just being implemented much slower, and they haven't done the state takeovers of industry here in the U.S., so the economics haven't really been too messed up, although they certainly are printing money, just not as quickly here. So it's just a difference in degrees, that's all. We'll see you tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com. Get your hats for the fucking great over at route101gifts.com.
Nice.
Podcast download numbers are the most quantifiable and important numbers that we can show an advertiser. So please, if you've not already done so, subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or in the podcatcher of your choice. Ratings and reviews help other people find the podcast, so please give us a rating and review on any podcast platforms that you use. Ratings and reviews are used to move a podcast up in search results, which means it's easier for others to find the show. This is free advertising for us, it's easy for you, and it tells other people that you like the show. Subscribe, give us 5 stars, and leave a review.